You know, you're complaining about how much you work, man. I'll go help you eat your deviled eggs. And, you know, that's a problem. I'm kidding a little bit there. Not much, but just a little. Exodus chapter 2. If you're willing and able, let's stand as we honor God's word. Exodus 2. You can follow along there. If you're willing and able, let's pay honor to the word of God. If you won't mind, verse 1, there went out a man. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. If we don't have it, then that's okay. There went a man of the house of Levi, took to his wife a daughter of Levi. Verse 2, the woman conceived, bare a son. When she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Exodus 2, verse 3. When she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark. An ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime and pitch, put the child therein. She laid it in the flags or the reeds there by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to understand what would be done to him. Verse 5, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and maidens walked along the riverside. When she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. When she had opened it, she saw the child. Behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." We're gonna look at three different folks this morning quickly, and I want to help you. I want to help you in the area of faithfulness. I want to help you in the area of faithfulness. Would you pray with me? Father, front to back, left to right, speak to hearts. Help us to hear, understand, and obey the Scripture. And I pray you be honored and glorified this morning because you are worthy. I pray if there's one here who's never repented of their sins, put their faith and trust in you, they've never experienced you changing their life, that today would be that day. And I pray if there are ones that are here and just struggling, they're inconsistent in their walk with you, they're inconsistent in how they are in front of the world, in front of the counterculture, I pray you give them real fierce determination today. And I pray you would remind all of us that you are in the life-changing, generation-changing business. Thank you for your great grace. I pray it in your son's wonderful name, and amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. I ran across that old thing. I was looking for something else. I ran across this old joke about what your parents teach, about what your mother teaches. My mother taught me about science. If you keep your eyes crossed that way, they're going to stay. You know, my mother taught me about time. Just wait till your father gets home, and all those. I read so many of them. I was kind of chuckling. If you say one more word, you're going to get in trouble. Answer me. My mother taught me about infinity, and so those kind of things. And Mother's Day is a tricky holiday. It is a tricky holiday. And I say that just with all the kindness. One, it's a Hallmark holiday. Hallmark holiday. How many of you think the preacher's a big Hallmark fan? Anybody in here? Anybody here? Man, my wife asked me if she could get the Hallmark channel for Thanksgiving or as an early Christmas gift for November and December. We have exactly one TV in our house. And I said, "What?" And anyway, she said, "I can watch it on my phone." I said, "Go ahead." And anyway, she didn't have to ask my permission for $6, not for nothing. She just wanted to see me sweat and twist and see what I would say. And let that be a lesson to you. Just say yes and pray hard. And so it's a tricky day. It's not in life. Because I grew up thinking that every day ought to be Mother's Day. All the men, please say amen. Every day ought to be Mother's Day. Every day you show your love to your mother. Every day you do those kind of things. My father passed away very unexpectedly. He passed away about 23 and a half years ago. And he passed away, and this was days before cell phones and whatnot. He and I hadn't talked probably in a couple of weeks. And after he passed and time adjusted and cell phones became more common, I just got in my head, I'm not missing that many days. I'm not missing that many days. And I try and check in with my mom, get the weather report and the funeral update and all those kind of things, you know. And did I tell you? Yes. Okay, let me tell you again. So I say that was my, it's a tricky holiday because it's an emotional day. It just is. Just is. If your mother's passed away, this is a rough day. If you didn't have a good mother, because it's a rough day because it spotlights us. Not everybody had a good relationship with their mother. I was talking one time, a guy came up to me, he said, "You were talking about grandma praying for you." He said, "My grandma was in the Hell's Angels." I said, she might not have prayed much for you, you know. And he reminded me, not everybody has a good, not everybody had a good mother. I'm stunned. I grew up thinking only men were lousy, no good, take off, leave their family. I have since learned differently. And sometimes you talk about Mother's Day and all this hurrah, and somebody's going, my mom wasn't like that. My mom wasn't anywhere near like that. Not everybody's had a good mother. Nobody's had a wife who was faithful. Not every lady simply is a mother, even if they desire to be. I have watched, and one of the reasons we do what we do here is I watch way too long mothers handed flowers and ladies without children ignored, and watch the hot tears go down their face in a service, and I said, I will never do that. And as long as it's been in my power, I have never done that. I will not single you out. I'm just not going to. It is Mother's Day, but we're honoring all the ladies, and we have the universal flower of chocolate in the back. And so we're just not doing that. And if we're not real careful, we'll turn something that's emotional, we'll turn something that should be spiritual and something that's emotional. And I like emotion, but I want us to make sure we're still in the Word and still there. And as Riley alluded to earlier, you know, we had to have a major motion picture, you know, entitled What is a Woman? By the raconteur, Matt Walsh. And we live in funny times. Nod your head if you agree with that. We live in funny times. I was doing a little research. I was looking for something, and I came across this huge thing on TikTok. I am not TikTok's target audience for a couple of reasons. One, I'm not interested in being spied on, and other things. But I came across this one thing, and it had to do with motherhood, and it had to do with femininity. And it was just the two questions that was ragingly popular the last 2 weeks. Will this make me richer? For women, will this make me richer, and will this make me hotter? And I thought, it can't be. And then I looked at the millions and millions of people who were following those trends and the demographics, and I'm going, well, surely not. Surely we've not reduced femininity in ladies and women and young women and older women to just those two questions. How can I get more money, and how can I look better to attract other people? I would say to us, we can do a little better than that. Say amen if you think we can do a little better than that. We can do a little better than that. And so I want to introduce you. If you've not known these three women, I want to introduce you. I want to help you with faith. I want us to learn from their lives about this area of being faithful, being faithful to the Lord. And so we're going to look at these. So three models. If you've got the handout as you came in, you can write some of these notes down if you're on the app. And I know some of you got reservations. Some of you got crock pots. Some of you just thought about the fact you ought to have made a reservation. And some of you are going, I want about 18 pictures back there. And so we'll try and do that. And others of you are going, I'm getting one of Brandon's cupcakes. So I understand. So as I like to say, I'll preach fast if you'll listen fast. That sound like a deal? Sound like a deal? So let's look at these three models of faithful. First off, we'll start with Jochebed. With Jochebed, we just met her. We met her in absentia almost. As she is there, and she is the woman, verse 2, who conceives and bears a son. But she's in a problem situation. The problem situation is that they're killing all the Hebrew children. And so she hides him. And when she could not muffle his cries anymore, she does what? If I can get him safely enough down the river, maybe these superstitious Egyptians will think this is a gift from the Nile. And I'll do this, and I'm going to get his sister there, and she'll keep an eye on him. And she didn't make a sacrifice to the Nile. She didn't give him to the crocodile, so to speak. She was there, and she does the most desperate thing she's ever done in her life. And Jochebed teaches about faithful protection. She teaches about what she needs to do in order to take care of the next generation. She is Moses' mother. She's Moses' mother. I'll give you some of her characteristics. I'm going to move fast. Number one, she defended children from evil. It was evil to kill those children. It was evil to see them sacrificed. It was evil for the capriciousness of Pharaoh to do this. And what did she do? She said, I will not. I draw the line in the sand. I will defy. I will do what is right. Well, can I just say again? I'm glad. I'm glad if you're fashionable. I mean, if you're an entrepreneur and you get wealthy, man, God bless you. I'm all for that. But there's more to life than being better looking. There's more to life than having more money. There's more, and part of that life is making sure that we take care of the next generation, that we defend the innocent, that we protect them. How many of you think, man, there's an all-out onslaught on people 25 and under? Anybody besides me? One guy said it this week, we're living in the time of the woke mind virus. You're being political. I wish it was political. I can deal with political. The poison young people telling them that they're messed up and all these kind of things. By the way, the more we do this kind of stuff, the higher the suicide rate goes for young people. The higher the suicide rate goes for 20-year-olds. Man, it breaks my heart. No, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are created in the image of God. You have intrinsic worth. You are beautiful and lovely as you are. You are highly esteemed by the Father. God, give us a generation of Jochebeds who say, no more. I will defend those who cannot defend themselves. I will take the fight if it costs me my life. And she does that. She defends her children. She had the faith to do what was right in the face of death. I mean, this was the penalty. We won't speak up sometimes, will we? We won't speak up if we think we're going to get mocked. Anybody besides me get that way? Anybody besides me lose your speech when you've got an opportunity to speak up for Jesus? You're like, okay. Anybody here do the you know, instead of the jump up and down and go, man, that's not right. Like I said, I was yelling at a road sign the other day. I'm like, man, where's my boldness at when I'm in front of people? She was faithful to do what was right in the face of death. We talk about persecution. What we really mean most of the time is aggravation. We need to be ready to do what is right. I will do this if it hair-lips the devil. I will do this if it costs me my job. And Jochebed was faithful. There is something more important than my situation and my for me being comfortable. How many of us in here, man, we just about won't do anything that's uncomfortable? Don't ask me. Don't ask me to do. We're talking about volunteers. I mean, the problem is not we don't see the need. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes it's that we don't have time. We're usually fairly affluent. We got some time. It's just man, that'd just be a little inconvenient. Be a little inconvenient. Are you still with me? We moved out to West Emory, the other side of Carnes, between Carnes and the Taj Mahal. That's what we call the new Weigels out there. And it's got all those lanes, and it's got pizza and hot dogs any time of the day. That's the Taj Mahal. And giant fountain drinks and cheap gas. And so that's the high living the Hollimans enjoy. We live close to that. What we hadn't figured out exactly when we moved out there is just how close we were to everything. So we're close to Lowe's, we're close to Target, we're close to Walmart, we're close to Home Depot, we're close to an Aldi's, we're close to some other stores, and heaven help us, we're close to Hobby Lobby. Thankfully, Hobby Lobby hired my family instead of them spending all their money there. Somebody say amen. And we're there. I do something the other day, and it was like 10, 12 minutes away. I'm going, man, it's just way too far. I'm just lost my mind. I grew up, it was 15 miles to the nearest McDonald's. It was 18 miles to the nearest Walmart once one came to town. And I'm thinking, man, this is a bad deal. I'll just pay more money and go to Ingles and go to this other place. We do things based off comfort. Jochebed said, this is right. I will do it if it kills me. Jochebed defended. She trusted her children. She trusted God with her life and her children to an uncertain future. When she put Moses in that little ark, foreshadowing God's protection, she said, I don't know how this worked out, but this is where I'm at. God, you will have to take care of them. Soon we'll have a child dedication service. It's actually a parent dedication service. Child can't do anything except there is look and be vulnerable. But mom and dad, stepmom and stepdad, grandma and grandpa, you know what they can say? And say, I will raise that child. I will dedicate them. I don't know their future, but God does, and I trust him more than I trust me. And I will rear them according to the dictates of Scripture. He trusted God with her children and her life. Here we go. And here's the theme. And God changed her story. Wait for it. And God changed our story. Because the baby in the little boat ends up being Moses the deliverer. Because she was faithful, her son's going to affect multiple millions of people and keep the children of Israel alive long enough so that the seed of David will be born and we will have the Messiah who is the Savior of the world. You never, ever doubt what your faithfulness can do in our lives, in the lives of others. And God changed your story from a grieving mother who's looking at death to all of a sudden. By the way, if you're an aunt or an uncle, if you're a cousin, if you God hadn't seen fit to give you children, or your children are out or grown, or wherever you find yourself in life, you're not married, man, you ought to be praying for the families that are around you. God use them. God bless them. God help them. Man, grow them up. We've been praying for the spouses, for our children, for ever how long they've been born. We've been thinking about it. God help them meet the right people. Bless them, whatever that is in their lives, because the next generation will have an impact that you and I can't understand. Change your story. Change his story. Number two, there's Rahab. Your Bibles are open there. Go over to Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, or verse 11. Joshua 2, verse 11. If you've got an app or whatever, you can flip over. Rahab. Joshua chapter 2, verse 11. As soon as he heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did it remain any encouraging any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. This is Rahab speaking. The spies have come to town. She hides them, and she tells them the news they need to hear. God is already at work. We're already more scared of you than you could possibly know. And I've heard this, and this is here. She's a prostitute. She's a woman who sold herself. She's in the know because she knows so many people. The spies, the Hebrew spies, are providentially there. And she says, I want my life to be different. You guys are going to come. When you come, you make sure you spare me. They say, you hang a scarlet thread there. You make sure it's obvious. Anybody's in your house is safe. Anybody not in your house is fair game. She says, deal. She lets them out the back, hides them. They hide in the woods for 3 days. They come back with a good report. You say, I can't do anything for the Lord. I can't do anything in life because of my past. You know what Rahab says? Rahab says, God is faithful to you when you have not been faithful to him. And God can be faithful. God's grace is great enough to change you into a faithful person. You say, man, I've made a mess. I've made all these mistakes. I've got all this sin. I got all this bad. I got all these stories. I got all these other things. Rahab screams at us that he can change your life. If you're glad God's in the life-changing business, say amen. Man, he's in life-changing business. Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished, not within that believed not, when she had received her spies, the hall of fame of faith. Hebrews 11, James 2, 25. Likewise also, Rahab the harlot, justified by works, she acted in faith when she received the message, sent them out another way. The living proof of her faith is faith in action. Anybody here figure out it's easier to wear a wristband or a t-shirt than it is actually to be obedient to the Lord? You got active faith. I believe I will do. Life change. Life change. The testimony. I love this, man. I love this. I have to be careful. I'd ask the two to speak. There'll be two to speak next week and all. I have to be careful. I don't make too many notes and have too much to say here because we've got people in the back. We've got junior church workers and all. I know every now and then some of you come in, man, we'd have two-hour service, man, as long as it's going good. And I mean, I appreciate that. Thrills my heart. But the people back there, man, they would be out here. They would be out here going, here, boom, and, you know, with the babies. And so I don't want to do that. I'm teasing. They wouldn't do that. I want to be cognizant of those kind of things. I know some folks, you get off in the morning so you can be at work in the afternoon. I appreciate your effort, and so we try and be time conscious. With that being said, man, is there anything that stirs your heart like somebody standing up and saying, this is who I was, and this is what God's made me into be. This is where I was headed, but God's changed my direction. This is how life used to be, but God is writing a new story in my life. And Rahab, the lady least likely to ever have this kind of testimony in their thinking, is in the Hall of Fame of Faith. It's mentioned by James as a reference that faith has, that faith works. She has a testimony. Not for nothing. You know it's coming. God changed her story, changed our story. So how do you change our story? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, she becomes part of the four ladies of grace that are in the lineage of Jesus Christ. God changed her and saved her, and everything is different. I can help you now if you want to get a little excited. You can finish differently than you started. You can finish differently. You can finish differently. Brandon said it, you know, kind of hysterically there. You know, he said our family puts the fun in dysfunction. Let me help you. God can put the grace in your mess. God can put the change in your life. I love to say it. I almost stopped using the word Christian because it doesn't mean anything. It's been co-opted by so many politicians. I just like Christ follower, follower Christ. Man, when you follow Christ, God will change your life. And if God's not changed your life, you got to ask, man, have I ever followed him? Have I ever repented of my sins, confessed and asked him to save me and to change my life? Because that's the who he is. You can learn about faithfulness. She protected. Rahab had life changed. Then Eunice, she's the witnessing lady and teaching other people to witness. She's the witnessing lady and teaching other people to witness. Go over, if you would, to Acts chapter 16. Acts 16. If you've got a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, maybe somebody share. If you're looking on your phone, man, do this. The scripture is important. Acts chapter 16. Say, Pastor, I can't be bothered to turn a page in a Bible or to flip open an app. I see how it is. Acts chapter 16. You're supposed to print all that. How many pages do you want me to give you? Acts 16, if you've got it, verse 1. Acts 16, I got about 5 minutes, I'm good. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain man was there, disciples there named Timothy, son of a certain woman, who was a Jewish, believed, but his father was a Greek. Two different worlds. He made Paul have to go forward with him. He took him under, he took and circumcised him. Why? Because Timothy's about to live in two different worlds. Because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew his father was Greek. By the way, you see the submission, the obedience of Timothy. My personal comfort is not as important as winning other people to Jesus, verse 4. As they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, for they were ordained to the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. She navigated two worlds. Some of the most amazing, gripping stories I've ever heard. People transformed out of backgrounds of abuse and addiction. I've known people, man, they're the only believer in their family. By the way, I know some of you, that's right now your story. The only believer in your side of the family that you know of. And they've navigated. I've known missionaries. We'd mentioned the Simmons. You saw from them. Middle class, upper end income, highly educated. Later in life, you know what we need to do? We're going to sell everything we got. We're going to get on a plane. We're going to learn a language. We're going to go nowhere. It's 4 or 5 hours by hazardous overland trip and just trust God. She navigated two worlds. By the way, she took what she knew and she taught Timothy how to navigate two worlds. He grew up with a Greek father, very different Jewish mother. He would go to both groups and say, the Messiah has come to the Jews for the whole world. By the way, that's still our message, isn't it? He came first to them and then to all of us. So you don't know my past. I may not know your past. But the faithful lady Eunice decided she would be a witness. She taught him how to suffer, by the way. She's talking about how to suffer. If you're still there, just flip over a few pages. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. Verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, and what persecutions I endured. But out of all of them, the Lord delivered me. She was part of the group that knew what it was to suffer. So boy, God, give us some adults, some ladies. It will say, I will do no matter what it costs for the gospel to go out. God, give us some men who will come to an altar and pray for lost family and friends and say, whatever it takes, man, I will do that for the gospel to go out. She knew how to suffer. She taught him, by the way, to suffer. And then finally, our last little look, she shared the gospel generationally. She shared the gospel generationally. That's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that's in thee, which dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded that is in thee also. Her mom got it, she gave it to her son, said, you keep passing it down. Is there any greater joy than an aunt and uncle, a cousin, a stepmom, stepdad, a grandma, a grandpa, somebody making sure that there is an unbroken line in the family tree. You can give all the roses. Andre went by Trader Joe's yesterday. They had just rows and rows of things for late people like me to get. You can get all the roses. You can get all the cards. You can go to the nicest steakhouse. You can get a manicure and a pedicure. You can do all those kind of things. You can go to that bougie place downtown where they put the feet in the milk and then and to do all the kind of stuff and ring the copper bowl and do all those kind of things. Again, if you'll come to my house, I'll pour milk on you for less than that. And we'll have it. You can do all the jazzy stuff, the bougie. You can do all those kind of things. But to the child of God, there is no higher, greater gift than to see people you love follow Christ. And then to see them teach other people to follow Christ. That you put in the guilt is, I'm not putting the guilt, I'm giving an aspirational goal. This is what Grandma wanted. And this is what Mama Eunice wanted. And Timothy bought in. By the way, I think great God-fearing parents and step-parents can do all that kind of stuff and their kids finally go, I love the passage in Proverbs. When they're old, they won't depart from it. It's a pun in Hebrew. It won't depart from them. You're giving them something they'll never run out of. They'll chase it. Excuse me, they can run all they want, but it'll keep chasing them. The Ten Commandments, the truth of Christ, the message of the cross, the resurrection. You matter. Your sin's killing you. Your sin will ultimately doom and destroy you. But Jesus died to save you from your sins. Your life can be different. You hang that around their neck, and you trust the Spirit of God, and you model that with consistency. And she shared the gospel generationally, and she got to live long enough to see it replicate as Timothy has an amazing ministry throughout in all kinds of places, and he gets to enter into the sufferings of Paul. We need faithful people. We have three great models that's here. Our friend Matt Pettit wrote a little poem I close with. I don't do a lot of poems, but I really liked it. He said, maybe you don't have a wonderful mom story. Maybe your mom's no longer with us. Maybe you'll spoil her today. Maybe you're trying to forget most of all this season. Maybe the mom opportunity just never came your way. Maybe today's just another day for you. Or maybe in some way it's a painful day. You don't even know how to feel, maybe selfishly, about that. It's okay to be thankful and broken. It's okay to honor, although empty. It's okay to have questions without angst. It's okay just to not know how you feel. A mom's essence is sacrifice, one of the most powerful of all things. And for that, the world is indebted and better and built. By the way, for those still finding their place and purpose, you understand God may have you exactly right where he wants you. Proverbs 31, her children rise up and call her blessed. We have three models of faithfulness that our world desperately needs and you and I desperately need to emulate. Would you pray with me right now? Our heads are bowed just for a moment. Thank you. I know some of you are a little uncomfortable. I appreciate that. I know the air kicked on, didn't seem to kick back off. And thank you for being patient that way. To all of you, this is a